It's a new year. It's a fresh start for the Pastoral Pandemic Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Pandemic Pastoral Podcast Season 2, The Coronavirus Strikes Back. My name is Alex, and as always, I'm joined by my phenomenally multi-talented, black belt-winning sidekick slash partner in crime, Rob.
Hey, Alex. Great to be back with you with a brand new year and a brand new opportunity to start a brand new jingle at the beginning of the podcast. Did you like it?
Oh, no, that is disturbing. Everything. And a little bit creepy.
Well, I was trying something new, and new is definitely the word of the day because it provides us a lovely little segue.
Segue into our topic for this week.
Which is a brand new world, question mark. We're thinking about life beyond the pandemic, and I know that feels like it might be far away still, but that's what we want to explore today. What kind of world are we going to live in after the pandemic has finally been dealt with? Here in the UK, we have our own issues. We have all kinds of inequality issues and all kinds of, you know, very serious things that sometimes we push into the long grass that really we should be thinking about now. You know, climate change is the levels of pollution and you know, especially in inner cities, really affecting people. I saw in the news the other day, you know, statistics about carbon emissions and the related asthma deaths and that sort of thing. So I'm just thinking, you know, this lockdown gives us a little bit of white space to imagine a world that's different, you know, imagine a UK that's different. And it gives us a chance to think about what we want to go back to. So that's really what kind of inspired me to think about today and you know, this topic.
I think it's a great idea, a great topic anyway, because like I said, you know, January is full of New Year's resolutions and people looking forward to the year anyway. But this is such an unusual time because we don't really know entirely how it's going to pan out. There's very little normal kind of rhythm to the year because lockdown could be extended. You know, we don't know how quickly the vaccines are going to roll out. We know they'll be effective, but, you know, what if there are further mutations? Because as a, you know, scientists have always helpfully pointed out, the longer you let the disease run, the more chance there is of it mutating, because every, you know, 2 million or whatever, you know, times it infects people, it mutates. And every time it mutates, there's a chance it becomes worse. You know, there's also a chance it becomes, you know, better, because sometimes diseases can mutate themselves out of being dangerous at all. But if it gets worse, then, and I think that unpredictability means that a lot of us are sitting around looking at 2021 going, who knows? Are we gonna go on a holiday this year? Are we going to go and see family? You know, like none of that stuff is to be, you know, accepted or taken for granted. You just, who knows what's going to happen. Whenever there is big change in society, there are, I think, a lot of areas in which our lives could potentially change, you know, in a big way. And I think a lot of it's going to be centered around the way we work. And I think the way companies and employers grapple with that is going to be, that's going to be an interesting kind of post-pandemic process.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'd love to hear from our listeners as well. You know, how are you finding work from home? What are the pros? What are the cons? You know, it would be great if you could send us an email to kind of just tell us what that's like. What thoughts have you been having about, you know, the future of what it might look like for you? Are you keen to return to the office when things go back to semi-normal? Are you not so keen? Are you now, having had a taste of the freedom of working from home, do you like it? You know, do you want a mixture of both? Do you want a hybrid? Send us an email. Let us know. That's 3p@andoverbaptist.org.uk.
I do think that there will be an appreciation of the importance of actually seeing people that you can't just take it for granted. I don't know how long it'll last. You know, it may just last for a couple of months, and then the novelty value of meeting up with family and friends again will wear off, and you'll be like,
maybe you'll realize who you really enjoy hanging out with and who you didn't miss at all. Who knows?
Yeah. Ugh, not them again. And I think for a lot of people who are perhaps, you know, more kind of introverted and they like their quiet time, you know, it's been a really good excuse to not be involved with things or to not go along to certain things, you know, like,
I'm not socially awkward, it's a pandemic, it's not my fault.
Yeah, I do not want to go to so-and-so's birthday party, and I don't have to because I can't. You know, so who knows? But I think you're right. I think as a society, there's definitely an opportunity to say, you know, cool, what is good about this? And isn't it good that we... So for me, one of the biggest kind of political principles that is being explored about this is that whole idea of universal income. In other words, you know, is there a case to be made that you don't just give benefits to people who are unemployed and all that, but that everybody gets some kind of universal basic income, which then means you're not really working anymore because you absolutely, you know, you're desperate to just pay rent and have food on your table. You'd be working because it would be something that you'd want to do or you'd be interested in doing, as opposed to the survival aspect of work. What would that do? Would that be a good thing? Would that be a bad thing? Would it take away meaning for people, give people more meaning because now they aren't terrified, you know, they don't have to take, you know, really harsh working conditions because, hey, that's the only way I can get money. The city, I think it's the city of Delft, they are trying that out. So, and there's like a city in Switzerland as well. All this obviously should be fact checked. But it would be interesting to see, because there's often an argument made that it shouldn't, you know, it's not a great idea because actually it's better, you know, it's better to work and maybe it's good to incentivize people to work.
What I like about this is not necessarily that the idea is going to work, but that somebody's trying something new, which I think is one thing we have learned during lockdown, the importance of being flexible enough to adapt and to try new things. Because, you know, how many of us had to change our entire working pattern and our whole kind of way of life in the blink of an eye? We had to do that pretty quick.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think for those of us who maybe have a more kind of stable, predictable routine, it's been an important kind of lesson for us, hasn't it? You mean the importance of being able to think outside the box and do things differently. And I hope we retain that post-lockdown, that kind of resilience to change.
Yeah, the resilience to change and also an appreciation of the importance of one's mental health.
Yes. And that's actually one of the most positive things I think has come out of the pandemic is there's, you know, there's always been a whole bunch of people who are so skeptical about mental health conversations. And, you know, they're always thinking, oh, people are just, you know, they're putting it on or whatever. And maybe for the first time, they've actually began to experience some mental health issues of their own and start going, oh, this is real. You know, maybe they've started to feel the anxiety of claustrophobia. Maybe they've started to feel kind of depressed because they're not seeing enough people. And particularly at the moment with the sun being gone, maybe they're experiencing some seasonal affective disorder and going, well, it's not just something that weaker people talk about. It's just like every other health condition. It's something that very ordinary people get all of the time. So if one positive thing has come out of this pandemic, it's been mental health awareness has been brought to the forefront again, which I think is a really positive thing.
Yeah, I think in my experience, at least, if you don't understand the importance of mental health, it's usually because you haven't suffered it. And that's a lot of it, I think, is around your ability to, for the most part, control your world around you. And that's what makes you happy. And that's what cheers you up. And that you don't dwell too much on negative things, because for the most part, you control the world around you. And as such, you're sort of, you're king of your own world, so to speak. And for those of us who struggle with mental health, or who've had, you know, moments in their life where they have, a lot of it is around that lack of control. And the pandemic has put a lot of people who are normally very much in control of their lives. They can do things when they want to, they can whatever when they want to, and then now they can't.
And also just the, you know, the sense that, you know, global inequality has also been brought to the fore by this, because, you know, we've talked, particularly in Western nations, you know, the thing that we keep saying is, you know, this is one of those once in a generation shock kind of things that's altered our whole life. And, you know, every day is uncertain, etc. But we almost forget that there are huge swathes of the world that live like that every day anyway, because life is so unstable and uncertain for them. You know, there are countries where the instability is so real and tangible. Yeah. Every single day is a quest for survival. And that's their daily life. And that's not going to get better once the vaccine rolls out. For us in the Western world, it's really important to realize how privileged we are for this not to be something where there's no light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we might not be able to see the finish line yet, but we know it's there. We know that, yeah, they will find an answer. And I guess the question of, you know, will vaccines be distributed fairly across the globe, especially to countries where, you know, they can't really afford them? Are we going to stop the global pandemic by richer countries contributing towards that? It's still in our self-interest, but actually, hopefully the pandemic has taught us to look beyond ourselves and not just be selfish, but to actually value people that we might not know, people that might be different from us, people who in a global world are still our neighbors, you know, and it's really challenging. I just think of, you know, Jesus' teaching of love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you did this, you'd keep all of the commandments. You know, it's really easy to understand, really hard to do.
Amen. Because I think the past 4 years has seen a lot of inward looking amongst nations, you know, for a number of complicated reasons. But it's an unhealthy, you know, whatever reasons are given, the conclusions reached, if that's your conclusion, it's still an unhealthy conclusion to say, nope, we're going to put us first, me first. You know, that kind of mentality is incredibly selfish. It's almost incredibly childish as well. You know, me, me, me. And the pandemic, obviously, here it comes. It has no respect for borders. And to defeat it, if that's, you know, if you think of it like that, there's an acceptance that we have to work together. If we aren't in this all together, we are also going to suffer. And I think, I hope, you know, it's more of a hope thing. I do hope that is a positive thing that comes out of this.
And shame on us if we don't, you know, it's just it's not a brave new world if that's the case. Boo to us. That's just not good. But I mean, I guess, you know, just the idea of appreciating people that are very different from us, not just across the world, but all around us. You know, I love the idea that we maybe for the first time have celebrated people that don't generally get celebrated in society. You know, the guys that drop off our food. Thank you so much for dropping off our food. You know, like it's not a small thing. It's not like we can just do without, you know, people that do a lot of those sort of hard lifting jobs that, you know, the white collar workers wouldn't go near because they think it's below me. And I think, well, suddenly in a pandemic, it's not below you to eat, is it? So, I really hope that we begin to realize that every single member of society is contributing something really important, and that, you know, everybody is important, not just the people who have high powered jobs or big salaries. Or make the news all of the time because of some of the great things that they're doing. You know, there are ordinary everyday people that are doing great things every day and nobody heralds them. Nobody notices them. And I just think, you know, that's so sad. It's so sad to have such a limited view of what greatness is. You know, in my mind, I think some of the greatest people in the world are people that we've never heard of because they were humble enough not to brag about themselves. And they did things without people knowing it. And they did it in the background. You know, they did incredible things. And, you know, as a pastor, I get this all the time. I do funerals for people. And then when you do the funeral, you know, you do your research and find out a bit about the person's life. And they've been coming to your church for 40 years and you had no idea half the stuff that they were doing in the background, which is just incredible. It's very humbling.
You know, I'm always moved by those stories when you do get to know somebody and you do get to know the real journey they've been on, because it's such a reminder that the little world that you live in, your own little personal bubble, that you kind of constantly put yourself in with your own worldviews and all these things. It is just that. It is just you. And it's that sort of lack of empathy. And I always like that picture of, you know, when he's doing the Sermon on the Mount, it's the Beatitudes, not the platitudes. You know, he is telling people things that are uncomfortable, things that are breaking those bubbles, things that are forcing them to stop thinking about themselves and the way that they see the world. You know, to tell somebody you've got to love your enemy, you know, that is a tall order. Not tolerate your enemy, not like your enemy, not just let them go about their business, but to love your enemy. You know, that is, it's too big that most people just go, no, I'm not interested.
There's no moral teacher in the history of mankind for me that has been more challenging than Jesus. Because, you know, he doesn't mess around. He just gets straight in there and he says stuff that just makes you so deeply uncomfortable to your core, but that you know in your heart of hearts is just so morally right. And that's what makes you uncomfortable, is you think that's impossible for me to do. And that, what does that mean about me? And yet the same guy is the guy that hung around with, you know, the people that religious people would have thought were the worst, the sinners, the tax collectors, the, you know, the downtrodden, et cetera, the very people who, outwardly speaking, would not look like, you know, saints at all. And those are the very people he showed the most love to. And I love that because, you know, it just reminds us that before God, all of us have messed up. All of us are just so unworthy of that love. But love is given freely as a choice by the one for whom, you know, love is the most important thing. And I just hope that, you know, as we come out of this pandemic, we'd understand that principle that actually, yeah, we can love our enemies. It's really hard. But actually, that's what greatness looks like. And if you want a future that's filled with greatness, that's the best place to start. Humbling yourself, loving other people, doing unto others what you'd like them to do to you. It's amazing how rewarding selflessness actually would be if we put it into practice.
And I think that is a genuinely beautiful way also to end the discussion, because that is not just, you know, absolute pure 100%, you know, undiluted Jesus, but it's also very much in keeping with, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. And it's in keeping with his message as well.
Yes, and since we're recording this on Martin Luther King Day, I think that's really appropriate.
And you know, I would just, you know, ask everyone just to go back and just listen to what Rob just said again, because it is such an encouraging piece of wisdom for the year ahead, because we don't know what's going to happen. It is a brave new world. But if we go into it with that attitude, that selflessness, then I think we'll all get through this together pretty well.
Amen.
So thank you once again for listening to our podcast. As always, we really appreciate your feedback in the form of tweeting us or emailing us. It's always a real pleasure to hear from you. Yeah, and we can't wait for you to join us in the next podcast.